We have several prayer requests for this morning. First one is pray for my friend Ruthie Williams and her family. Her grandmother is battling health issues. Pray for our friend Shelly and her family. Pray for Kara Maddox. She is preparing to travel to Colorado for her dad's funeral. And pray for Ed Brown's heart to be turned toward Jesus.
Right. And Monica's mama, Eva, has an unspoken request. And our friend Angela asked us to continue to pray for her son, Ricky, and their family.
Okay. All right. Let's pray. Gracious God, you hear all of the requests of our hearts. Today we lift up Eva's unspoken request. We pray for Ricky. Pray for Ruthie. We pray for Shelly and Kara and for Ed. Lord, we lift them up by name, knowing that you know them, knowing that you know their story better than we know it, knowing that you know their journey better than we do, and knowing that you love them even more than we do. We pray, God, that you will continue to pour out your Spirit upon them, upon all of us. Forgive us for the moments of iniquity. Show us the way to life. Give us the equipment to be the bearers of your good news and to follow in your footsteps, even, God, when it's hard. And send your Spirit of healing upon all who need it, in whatever forms of healing they need. God, today we ask for just a special blessing upon our world, for conflicts, suffering, for people who are caught in the crossfire of things that they may not even quite understand. And we pray, Lord, for peace. We pray for justice. We pray that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And for those things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling is located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all of your plumbing, heating, and cooling needs, contact Drew's at 580-343-2525. They are a company that cares. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-343-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here in Elk City at the Promise Center.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grants Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grants Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
Pastor Tammy Bailey would like to invite you to the Refuge Church. They're located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10. Sunday worship at 10:45. Sunday evening prayer is at 5. Sunday evening Bible study at 6. Wednesday Bible study at 7. Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. His title is Equipping for God's Call.
Yeah. So, excuse me. Right before we closed, the first part I talked about, I was going to go over how Moses responds. Because it's in the response that Moses makes to this request, let my people go, where I think we see what God's equipping looks like. Mm. So immediately, God says, let my people go. Moses, bless his heart, mm-hmm. says, well, who am I? That's excuse number one. Now, if any of us ever asked God, well, who am I? I mean, you kind of, it's almost one of those. Now, again, we don't use these words because, you know, we don't want God to know we think this. I almost feel like I need to push the pause button again. But it's almost like if God really knows who I am, there's no way God's asking me to do this. Moses is the same way. You remember, Exodus story starts with Moses being put into the Nile River into a basket and Pharaoh's daughter picking him up and him growing up in Pharaoh's household for 40 years. So yes, he's a Hebrew, but he grew up as an Egyptian. He actually has feet in both worlds. Mm-hmm. But you remember, at the end of his first 40 years, he goes and he sees an Egyptian slave master hurting a Hebrew slave and Moses ends up killing him. And Moses has to run. Moses has been running for 40 years. Moses is 80 years old. His first 40 years spent as a Hebrew in Pharaoh's household. His second 40 years running from the Pharaoh because he killed an Egyptian. By the way, his next 40 years will be letting my people go, but we'll get to that. Does God not know that I can't go back to Egypt? I mean, that's what's really underlying here. It's not said. It's not written down. But I guarantee you, if Moses had a thought bubble, he is basically saying, doesn't God know I can't go back? Mm-hmm. Because if I go back, they'll kill me. I'm a wanted man. And God says, the first piece of equipping. I will be with you, says the Lord. Because one of the things that you have to come to grips with, that I have to come to grips with, that Moses had to come to grips with, is that maybe God called you not in spite of who you are, but because of who you are. That's a hard reality. Because as soon as, you know, God's calling me, I have to be perfect. I have to do this. I have to. Maybe it's your imperfections that make your story so compelling. In typical, wonderful Moses fashion. Excuse number two. Okay. So you promised to be with me. Well, what if they ask me your name? Who do I say sent me? And once again, I can just see God taking a deep breath. Oh, Moses. I am who I am. It's the name Yahweh that we eventually will call the name of God. Or I will be what I will be. I was what I was. I am what I am. I mean, It's sort of ambiguous in that respect, and gloriously ambiguous. But if you notice, God doesn't say in this time. This time he doesn't say, like another place where it says like Jehovah Jireh or thing, you know, provider, God does this, God does it. This is just, I am God, period.
Mm-hmm.
So when you tell them this. You see, once again, excuse and an equipment. An excuse and an equipment. Mm. Number three, Moses says, well, what if they don't believe me? That's a legit question, by the way. What if they don't believe me? And that's when God says, well, you have a staff in your hand, right? Yeah. I want you to throw the staff on the ground, and it'll become a snake. And it does. And then he says, I want you to pick the snake up, but it's going to become a stick. And it does. And then he says, take your hand and put it inside your cloak. And he comes out, and it's leprous. And he says, now put your hand back in there. And it's back to clean. God is saying to him, look, there is nothing I won't do. There's nothing I can't do. Now, again, this would have been a perfect time. And I want to say, Lord, this would have been the time to go ahead and come clean about the plagues that are coming and the Passover and the Red Sea and the manna in the wilderness. You know, this might be a good time for that, you know, burying the lead a little bit. But he doesn't. He just says, this time he shows his power. I can do this. So, who am I? Who are you? What can you do? Well, now, God, let's revisit me again. Because really, all of our favorite subjects is me. Well, maybe not for you. Maybe you is you and me. Yeah, we don't get into that. We love to talk about ourselves. We love to ask about ourselves. We as much as we say we don't, we do. Even when we're self-deprecating, it's still self, right? Mm-hmm. God, I am not eloquent. I don't speak well. Now, I have a friend of mine, one of my best friends actually. He preached this sermon, a version of this sermon, just recently came out to preach for me. And he made a statement that I thought was interesting, and I've actually read this in some commentaries. There's always been this assumption that maybe Moses was a stutterer or different thing. My friend Steve actually says, I wonder if this is just self thing. He's really not. He's almost making himself not speak well as a way of saying, okay, God, get me out of this. And I thought that's a fascinating thing, because how often do we do that? Well, God, I don't know enough scripture. How many times have I heard that? I would go talk to my neighbor, but I don't know enough scripture. Or, you know, well, I don't really pray enough. Or there's all these little things that you could do differently, but just not to. And so here's an opportunity to see it. Moses says, well, I don't speak well. Now, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. I wasn't there. You all weren't there, were you? You're
not. No.
You're younger than I am. So anyway, we weren't there. But I think there's some validity to this. And then God's response is, it's probably one of my favorite ones. I will give you the words to speak. Once again, you could have led with that. Who am I? Who are you? What kind of power do you have? Can you overcome my limitation? Mm. And then number five, excuse. Which just might be the greatest excuse in the history of humanity. Because if you can't feel this, I would say here's where you're doing number four. You're not being honest with yourself. When Moses looks to the heavens and says, Lord, please send someone else. I can feel the cry of Moses' heart.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, it sounds like this. Well, somebody ought to do something. You know? Well, there's a low-income section on this side of town. Somebody ought to go in there and do some ministry. You know, I should. Somebody ought to pray for those people that are in harm's way and where there's war. Somebody ought to volunteer at the Red Cross. Somebody ought to go help after a tornado. We've all heard those things. Maybe even said them a few times. Lord, send someone else. What I think is fascinating, Moses doesn't say, Lord, change your mind. Don't let your people go. Moses is fine with the objective here. I think Moses actually agrees with God. I think he's like, oh, this is great. God's going to go in and set the people free. But doesn't want the responsibility or the task of being the person bearer of that message. I want God to truly make a difference in our world. I want God to speak into the lives of people who need healing. I want God to speak into the lives of the poor. I want God to truly bless and forgive. And I want God to be an active agent. These are all things that I think most of us want.
Mm-hmm.
But when God says, okay, then go. Oh. Well, that's the preacher's job. Or that's the lay leader's job. Or that's, you know, so-and-so prayer warrior's job. Why? Why does it have to be their job? And this is the one time I think God gets frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer is, fine, you're still going, but I'll send Aaron with you. I think this is one of those, it's like, finally, I'm like, fine. But even then, even scripturally, we'll start sending people out two by two. We send people out with partners. And, you know, in many churches, we talk about the pastor and maybe a lay leader or somebody like that. We still send people out that way. And once again, please send someone else is met with an equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. I'll send somebody with you. But you're going. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, okay, this is a great story, and this is Exodus 3 and 4. If you want to go read it, it's all there. But if you want to take this and you want to go, I get it, it's a good little story, whatever. But let me just remind you of what's really at stake. I've left this out. You talk about burying the lead. I've buried the lead. Egypt at the time is the most powerful nation in the world. The only one with the authority to let my people go is Pharaoh himself, who, by the way, is the most powerful human being on the planet at the time, and according to the Egyptians, literally is a god. You're not just going into Joe Blow and going, hey, what's up, G? Let him go. You are talking to the most powerful man on the planet with the most powerful army in existence. A country that literally is taking over territory and country and nation after nation. This isn't some kind of fairy tale. God is actually asking Moses to walk up to the most powerful man in the world and say, you need to do this differently. I'm going to tell you where that ends. You don't have to be a Game of Thrones fan to know where that ends. And I left that for the end because, just like sometimes with calls, there's always more going on. Mm. Sometimes we recognize it, and sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, God's objective here does not change. God's objective was let my people go. And he asked Moses to lead the charge. Now, we have the benefit. Moses does go. And he does stand before Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh's like, no. And the first three plagues happen. And then Pharaoh says, well, maybe I will. And then he changes his mind. And there's three more plagues. Then Pharaoh says, maybe I will. And then he hardens his heart. And he says, no. Nope. And then there's three more plagues. And then it's a cycle. Mm-hmm. And then eventually the Passover itself does happen. And Pharaoh lets them go. And then relents one more time. And they get caught between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea. God parts the Red Sea. And then they get into the Red Sea. Across the Red Sea, and they end up in the wilderness where they do some horrible things. We know about Exodus 32, 33, and 34 where they build the golden calf. And so they get stuck in the desert for 40 years. Mm-hmm. But even in the desert, manna in the morning, quail in the evening, all the way to the promised land. Now, you should still go read the book of Exodus, even though I just gave you the shortest synopsis ever. But it all started with God's call to let my people go. No details. Just like that stupid game shoe brain. I don't know how to get to A to Z. But eventually it takes trust to do it. I don't think that's any different than today. God's call for us today is the same call that Jesus made at the Great Commission. Go mm-hmm. make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the call. That is that has been the call now for two millennia. That has been our call as Christians. And there have been moments we've done it well, and there's moments we haven't done it so well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not even getting into the New Testament part of this side of the story. There's a whole New Testament equivalent to this story. Maybe I'll do that next time. But today what I want us to confront is that God does call. And when God calls, God equips. Mm-hmm. And yes, God knows who you are. You're not hiding it, even if you push the pause button. You're not hiding it, even if you say the right words. We're not hiding it when we try to slough it off. God knows our gifts and our limitations. God knows who you are. And yet, I still think this is the strangest thing of the gospel. Of all the things in the gospel, this to me is the one that still blows my mind the most. And yet, God still wants you to partner in the bringing of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. God still wants the church to be part of bringing in the kingdom. Through all of its good, but through all of its imperfection. Through all of the times it gets it right and all the times it gets it wrong. Through all the people within it who do things well and beautiful, and in times when they don't. Mm-hmm. God still calls. And God equips those he calls. And so the next time you feel a call, next time I feel a call, yeah, it might start with, are you sure, Lord? I don't know about that, God. I'm not sure if that's what I want to do. I'm not sure if that's what you really want that? I want you to stop and ask yourself. If I answer yes, even without all the details, do I have enough faith and trust that God's going to equip me for the task ahead? And then it becomes a faith question. It becomes a God-sized question. And just remember, eventually Moses actually does go. Mm-hmm. All the way for the next 40 years. From let my people go to the precipice of the promised land. All right. We'll stop there.
Amen. So before we tune out, would you be so kind and share with people any information about your church?
Sure.
Locations.
Thank you.
Locations.
I know, right?
And
yeah,
anything.
Yeah.
You busy man.
Yes, thank you.
And anything else that you would like to share with the listeners.
Would love to. Thank you. Thank you. So I pastor, we call it the Western Oklahoma Hub. It is three United Methodist churches currently at Elk City, Eric, and then Chapel Hill, which is just east of Clinton. At Elk City, we have a traditional service at 9, Sunday school at 10, and a contemporary worship service at 11 on Sundays. Eric, we have a service at 9 o'clock in the morning, and at Chapel Hill, we have one at 11. And we do have children and youth on Wednesday nights, and we do have adult Bible studies. This week is our last for a little while. We're taking a little bit of a break. We take a little break over the summer simply because all of our things go a week long. We do have VBS coming this summer, the last week of July. And I'll be on before then. I'll make sure and make that announcement. But we would take any kiddos around the area. If you want to bring your kids, we'd love to have them at Elk City for VBS. But this, you know, over the course of the summer, we have I tease about it. There are less events, but they're longer. You know, we have camps that are a week long. We have mission trips that are a week long. We have conferences that are a week long. We have VBS, which is a week long. And so instead of having a whole bunch of smaller events, it's long, you know, big, long events. And so we're looking forward to the summer. But again, you can always check out our website, elkcityumc.org and, elkcityumc.com, sorry. And you can check that out. And there's always things on there. You can find us on all three churches on Facebook. We do live stream our services, so those are available to us. But I appreciate you letting me to talk about that as well. It makes and then just one last thing I would promote. I am thankful to Elk City as part of the Elk City Ministerial Alliance. We will be putting on baccalaureate on May the 18th, right before 2 hours before graduation. And I'm thankful because not all communities get to do baccalaureate anymore. And I'm thankful that here at Elk City we still get to do that. And so on May the 18th at 2 o'clock, we'll have baccalaureate, and then they have graduation then at 4 o'clock that day. So that'll be a neat event for the whole Ministerial Alliance. So
that's awesome.
And y'all remember, the prayer and praise in the park is coming up.
Yes,
May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd, a 48-hour revival. I'm excited.
And it's starting on the 31st from 5 to 7 with free activities at the park.
Yes.
Sweet. Sweet. That's awesome.
We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come join us.
I appreciate appreciate the invite. I appreciate the grace. Just the opportunity to share the good news. I try never to take that for granted, you know. And especially when you get a story like this morning that, I mean, hits a little closer to home than I wanted to hit at times.
Yeah.
Because it's something that we all have to call out. We have to ask ourselves a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does God really call? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure he calls me? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does, then God surely will equip you. And I think it's important. And so I love just getting the opportunity to do it.
It's awesome. You know, when the Lord put it on, I was invited to come and visit Hour of Power several years ago. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to get in line. I was I was hit and miss. They sure. never knew. Miss Nima never knew when Monica was going to whirl in or not. And the Lord, I asked him, you know, we were spending time, and he said, I want you to start showing up. I want you to get on a schedule. Mm-hmm. Set a schedule. And so I was like, okay, Lord. So I asked him, what schedule would you like for me to be on? I'm not one. You've got to let me know. So he was so sweet. He said, I want you to start setting your alarm for 6 a.m. because I would stay up till 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. and sleep till 12, 1, or 2.
Sure.
That was me. And it took me, and he was so sweet and gracious and gave me the time to get in line with the schedule. And it was hard at first. I've got to be honest.
Of course it was.
It was hard at first, you know, because I had this schedule going, and I had that schedule for a long time. But God had plans. He had such great plans for my life.
Absolutely.
And still does.
Absolutely.
You know, as y'all know, Miss Neva and Mr. Joe has been going through some stuff. So about a year or so ago, she came to me with the opportunity to take Hour of Power on so that she can spend more time at home with Mr. Joe. Mm-hmm. And I, like you said, I would have never thought years ago that I would be sitting in a war room for my God.
Amen.
And to be able to say that we have no cue cards. He is faithful every morning to bring up to my remembrance everything that needs to be said. And he equipped me enough to train Tina.
Yep.
And as someone in that position, if you will, to train someone else, she has went far beyond any. I mean, I'm just so excited for what God is doing in both of our lives. Mm. You know? And it's just so cool to see how he works and weaves everything together. And I still do have battles, you know, with things.
Sure, we all do.
But God is so faithful mm-hmm. to say, I got you.
Absolutely.
It's okay. I'm with you. It's okay. And it is. Even when it don't feel like it, it is.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. No, you're absolutely right on the money on that. Mm, amen.
That's good. I don't have anything to top that. Our God is an awesome God. Yes, he is all the time. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I am going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and Pastor Scott Rogers. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.